everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is the Third Space Podcast, and I am your host, Bob Fabey. And what you are about to hear is an interview I did with Bill Martinez Live, a radio host in Florida who has a nationally syndicated audience. And Bill was wanting to do an interview with me around my book, Not My Jesus. I'd invite you to sit back, listen, and enjoy.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez Live.
After the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information you need to know. And with us right now is Bob Fabey. He is a down-to-earth Anglican priest, they tell me, with over 20 years of ministry experience with a variety of organizations, holds a master's degree in divinity and a bachelor's of arts in history from the University of Montana. Bob, good to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I like your question. You ready to confront your Jesus and embrace your sacred role?
Yeah, it's an important question. I think so many times we opt for a Jesus that we found and that we hold on to, and we think that's the one and that's it. And yet he has so much more for us, I think. And I think it'd be helpful for us to wrestle with some deeper questions around that.
Yeah, the title of your new book, Not My Jesus, John 3:16, Embracing Our Sacred Role in a Changing World. And interesting, the cover of the book that some might find sacrilegious.
I understand. Yeah, and really,
I chuckle with all due respect here, because what you're doing, like anybody who calls to question, maybe our stale perspective of Jesus Christ, we take him out of the relevance of the current environment.
Yeah, or the opposite happens, where we just try to make him completely relevant in the way that we think would make the most sense. And so the cover actually is just kind of a depiction of all of the caricatures, not all of them, but many of them, that people have around Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the book cover causes people pause, sometimes conversation. Mm-hmm. What I find funny is, you know, people look at the cover and they go, man, that's sacrilegious.
Right.
And maybe they're, you know, they could be referring to the Starbucks or the selfie, but primarily, you know, people have reacted to the fact that Jesus has a cigarette. And
yes,
nobody... Actually, nobody's really said, man, it's sacrilegious that Jesus has blue eyes on the cover of this book, or that he's fair-skinned. And so it kind of makes the point in and of itself when people orient to the book cover.
Well, of course, you know, they're going to, you know, this is going to shock, you know, their paradigm perspective, and, you know, that's okay. But it even starts out with the title, Not My Jesus. You know, when I first got it, I went, whoa, okay. And then you start seeing all the other things, you know, the cigarette, we've got Republicans, Democrats, the American flag in the background, and yep. Starbucks, the selfie, the whole deal. I mean, It's a 21st century bent perspective on Jesus, but it bears to mind, you know, who is your Jesus?
Exactly. Well, and two, you know, what we have to keep in mind is that Jesus in the first century was had plenty of opportunity to have the same thing happen. There were people who were in different debates around, you know, divorce and marriage. Or if you remember, you know, people came up to Jesus, well, you know, basically, what do you think of taxes? And
right.
And Jesus consistently avoided getting into the kind of the cultural milieu, if you were. He would walk past those things. He'd reference them. He'd say, hey, you know, render to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Right.
You know, or Moses did this because of you guys.
Yeah,
because
you're knuckleheads. Was, yeah, right, exactly.
So. Well, yeah, or, you know, it was just he was really clear about what he was trying to accomplish, which was to embody, you know, the Messiah and actually defeat hell, sin, and death, and maybe not get caught up in some of the cultural things that he could have gotten caught up in, and specifically, I think, calling us to not get entangled in today.
Exactly, because for him, it's about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the salvation for all the craziness and the chaos going on in society today.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, he has a completely different message than what people want to make him say today. So that's why in the book, like I talk about the different types of Jesus. You know, there's the, well, even, you know, on the cover, it's kind of depicted, but the Nordic Jesus, you know, well, Jesus was white and he had blonde hair and blue eyes, or yeah. Jesus was this. And it was like, wait.
Born of Jewish parents.
Yeah, you know, and I think the issue is that Jesus was the Messiah. And so he was functioning out of who he was, and it had little to do what people wanted to make him to be, and that we have to actually confront that in and of ourselves, so that we can get really clear about not just who Jesus was, but then how does he want me to behave?
Well, in a sense, is it not a bit, you know, comparative to God saying, look, I don't want any images made of me? Because he knew what man would do. We're finite and limited. We can't possibly comprehend an awesome God, the ruler of the universe, the true ruler of the universe, and, you know, begin to depict him in some... we're so limited. I mean, and this is, you know, clearly, I think what your book is bringing out, Not My Jesus, is that, you know, just by even the mere depiction of who we think Jesus looks like and who he might be, we fall so short.
Yeah, or what happens is that, you know, we think we have it down. You know, we think... Hey, we've got the real picture here, and in fact, that's why I went through Matthew and pulled out the names that Jesus called people, because he called people names. Mm-hmm. And when we have a version of Jesus that doesn't do that for the purpose of his messianic embodiment, then we have a really incomplete view. And I think for me, that's part of the problem is that you could say, well, is Jesus nice? And I'd say, yeah, there were some really great things about it. And then some people would say, well, Jesus was all about love. And I would say, well, yeah, but he was also about this. And so it seems as if most of our culture today has just kind of an incomplete view. Mm-hmm. And that once we have a more complete view, then we're able to see more clearly what our role is.
Well, Bob, like you said, you know, Jesus was that, but he also called people out for who they were. If they were hypocrites, they were hypocrites.
Absolutely.
And he picked no bones about it. If you're a liar, you're a liar. If you're a stealer, you're a thief. You know, that's, you know, because obviously what you do is what you identify with, right? And so if you've taken for granted, and even back then, you know, thousands of years ago, people, you know, settled into that without even realizing that was their identification. And what Jesus was bringing was a new identification that was consistent with the purpose that God had when he created them to begin with.
Yeah. Otherwise, you have a very hard time figuring out how tax collectors and prostitutes wanted to hang out with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think what he did, and to be fair, the folks in the first century aren't too much different than us. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask somebody, you know, who they are today, they're going to tell you what they do for a job.
Exactly.
They're not going to speak about their identity in Christ or hey, I'm you know, I was made in the image of God in order to reflect God's goodness to the rest of the world. You know, people aren't going to answer that way. And so what Jesus did was he spoke to those people by saying, I know that you rob people for taxes. I know that you take more than you should. And I know that that makes you one of the lowest people in our society. But I want you to know I'm going to treat you according to who I know you to be, which is made in God's image. And that is a remarkable shift, I think, versus how we tend to orient to people, which is, you do this thing, you're a bad person, therefore I'm going to treat you as such.
Well, the question remains, are you ready to embrace your sacred role in a changing world? Bob Fabia is with us. We're talking about his new book, Not My Jesus. We got to take a short break. We'll be right back after this. We're back with you just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Bob Fabia is with us. His new book, Not My Jesus, Embracing Our Sacred Role in a Changing World. Bob, as we were talking about, you know, people's different perspectives about who Jesus is. And it's quite interesting, you know, that we try to fit God into our, you know, limited perceived box. Of course, God warns us, you know, not to do that. In fact, in some cases, you could call it an outright sin. It's a, it's against one of the Big Ten, you know, that you're doing here, and in trying to create God in an image of your own perception, because God is all that and so much more. In writing this book, you know, you're looking over the landscape of the body of Christ, and you're saying, hey, look, we've got to address this issue and bring Jesus into the 21st century, or maybe bring us into a 21st century Jesus, which is really the same as he was yesterday, today, and forever.
Right. I would say let's bring us to a first century perspective,
yes.
which says let's allow Jesus to be fully who he was. Mm-hmm. Let's allow him to function fully who he was to be, and how he wanted to function. And when we do that, then I think we're freed from a lot of the things that I think Christians get distracted and entangled by in our culture.
Well, you know, I was looking at your background, and you practice Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I thought this is interesting. So this, you know, in terms of your design and your interest, this must bring a perspective that your followers, you know, appreciate, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about the jiu-jitsu is that it's a very humbling sport. Mm-hmm. I am consistently placed in a in my place, if you will, and that I find that maybe a little bit like Jacob, the grappling helps me a great deal. You know, kind of just be able to orient to the rest of life, but it also has some problem-solving elements. If anybody out there has practiced any kind of grappling discipline, they know that this is about problem-solving and patience. And then I can easily look at that and go, man, how do I practice that in my own spiritual walk? Like, how can I be more patient? And what does it look like to allow Christ to speak to me in areas of my life when maybe I'm feeling really uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what I'm trying to get at in the book, is that, you know, we're pretty comfortable with our version. Right. And if we allow Christ to make us a little uncomfortable, maybe we can learn and grow in a way that we didn't know we could.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, Not My Jesus, you say, is likely the only Christian book to dedicate 3 pages of the intro to the film Talladega Nights.
I think so.
Hey, you know, well, I'm sure Jesus could be entertained. Right, come on.
Well, it's funny because when I saw that that prayer in that film, I thought, oh my goodness, this is exactly what our culture is trying to do. So the children, you know, I like to picture Jesus as a ninja, you know, and I like to picture Jesus this way. And of course, you know, Will Ferrell's character has a certain version, which is the baby Jesus. And it really was a brilliantly done way of talking about how people have oriented to Christ, to Christianity, in a humorous way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and that's okay, you know, because it is contemporary. It puts it in perspective. And sometimes what you got to do is you got to knock down, you know, the 9-dot paradigm for us to get outside of our boxes to realize that there's so much more to our Lord than, you know, the confined space that we've given him, because that works for us. That's comfortable for us. But,
right.
You know, and I think that's almost an oxymoron, because life with Jesus is not necessarily comfortable.
Oh, man. You know, I'm so grateful for you to say that, because what I find is that I find that I am with a Savior who is not vested in my comfort, but he's vested in me looking more like him. And I'm really grateful for that, so that the work of the Holy Spirit in my life winds up looking like, at times, discomfort, because Christ is trying to make his image in me.
And by the same token, I will tell you, I've had those moments in life, Bob, maybe you haven't, where you just get a little worn out and you want to say, Lord, can I have a break for just a moment? And, you know, and that can happen. I mean, I know it happened for me. I mean, it got to the point where, you know, one of my favorite prayers has always been the Lord's Prayer. And I would get to that part, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Bob, I couldn't pray it.
Yeah.
I had enough of God's kingdom. You know, I was cooked, and I needed
that's
a
so
break.
Real though, Bill. I think that there's a lot of people who experience that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I think we wind up trying to do a lot for God and not a lot with God. And the pain of I think of Jesus as a carpenter,
right.
And I think of him. Sometimes he uses really nice sandpaper, you know, yes. Just kind of buffs it off a little bit, and then other times he has to use a hatchet.
You got the course. Get the course one.
Right.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, part of my life, you know, is like there's a lot of coarse wood that I want him to mm-hmm. have access to make me look more like him. But yeah, it is a challenge on every level, I find, to walk with him, and a joy and a privilege, but that it requires much. And I think when we're willing to count that cost, then something else happens, which I'm grateful for.
Well, I have to say that when I had that moment of honesty with myself and with God to say, Lord, I need a break, you know, part of me was thinking, oh, I'm going to be a pillar of salt, you know, for admitting this. But, you know, God allowed me to be real. And as a result, yeah. it really deepened our relationship to where I yeah. go, oh, you know, you are a real God. You know, you did say, come
right.
to me. Let's talk about these things, you know. And
right.
I could be myself and just be genuinely honest to say, Lord, you know, I'm done. I'm really cooked yeah. at this point. And he didn't turn me into a pillar of salt. And
you mean that he actually really loves you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, can you imagine? What a novel concept,
gracious.
Right? Yeah.
Beautiful.
Without a doubt. Hey, in the book, you know, we mentioned face, you know, doing selfies and all this on the cover that's depicted. But you start the book with Jesus having a Twitter account. Tell us about that.
I think part of the thing that's hard is when people don't have a perspective of Jesus as having been judgmental towards people. The way that I might enter into that conversation, because of who I am, is maybe with a little bit of a wink and some humor and a little sarcasm to make it go down a little bit better. Because it's pretty hard to hear Jesus call a woman a dog, or to know that a brood of vipers. You know, we don't really feel the sting of those things, and we kind of go like, well, yeah, the Pharisees were a brood of vipers, so it's okay for Jesus to say that. But if he said it to you or to me, it would cut us to the quick. And so Twitter, playing the role that it plays in our culture right now, seemed to be a good place for Jesus to put out some tweets to make a really clear point that Jesus was really comfortable with bringing judgment, and that he actually had every right to do that, but that it was for a purpose and a function.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to orient people to what was true. And honestly, I think in many respects to free us from the need to run around and judge everybody that we see.
Right.
I think he's got that handled.
Yeah.
I really can't trust him with that.
Yeah. Well, the thing also, the way I look at it was that it's almost self-indicting, because in the presence of God, you're not fooling anybody. And,
right.
you know, it's your eyes are opened up. And it's up for you. What are you going to do with the information, right? We've got, Bob, we've got to wrap this up right now because, sadly, you know, we're out of time. I've just so enjoyed this. Bob Fabi is with us. Not My Jesus, Embracing Our Sacred Role in a Changing World. So much more to talk about in this book, but that's why you need to get your very own copy. And the book is available at all the usual places, right, Bob?
That's correct. Yeah, you can find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can go to my website, bobfabi.com, and get it from there. There's all sorts of places to find it.
Well, as you can tell, they gave him a perfect descriptor. He is a down-to-earth Anglican priest with over 20 years of ministry experience with a variety of organizations. Bob, thank you so much for sharing. Appreciate it. All the best. God bless to you.
Many blessings.
Thanks so much for listening today. As always, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can check out my website at bobfabi.com. You can also pick up a copy of the book, Not My Jesus, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. And as always, would love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment, ask questions, or leave a suggestion about the podcast. Give it a rating. We'd appreciate that. I hope that you have many, many blessings today.